On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute the millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.
Now, guys, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Tom McKibben, the latest superstar to emerge from Hollywood and Hollywood Golf Club. Tom, you're over in Dubai. How are you keeping?
Yeah, I'm doing very good. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, so you just come off a little break now, or you're in the middle of a break before you head off to Qatar after 3 weeks in the UAE. How were those three events for you? How was that stretch?
Yeah, they were pretty good. Solid sort of 3 weeks to start the year off was nice. Yeah, they were for free. I would say sort of successful, solid weeks to start the year off.
Yeah, big time. So you're like I was saying, you're currently had a week off. You weren't playing in Bahrain this week. What do you like to do on your downtime? Was it a practice week, or were you just chilling?
No, it was pretty. A practice week pretty much. Had a couple of my team over this week, so we did a little bit of work and sort of to get ready for next week. I've got a couple of weeks off after next week, so I'll get a bit of time to relax after that.
What do you like to do then in your downtime? So you're saying you got a few weeks off. What do you like to do to get away from golf? Because I know a lot of other professional athletes, like footballers, rugby players, they like to play golf as their downtime sport. What do you do?
Not a whole lot, to be totally honest. I sort of, if I'm home for a bit, I'll just sort of chill around the house. Go to the gym probably a lot just to keep up everything that I would do normally. But not a whole lot. I mean, you know what it's like, the weather at home is not really good enough to go out and do many things. So probably just sitting around the house really watching TV.
And where is base for you then? Like, I mean, like, you're obviously in Dubai at the moment after the last 3 weeks. Is that kind of going to be home base for you going forward, or is back home actually home?
No, back home still actually home. I guess just up until the weather gets better at home, there's no point in really being there. Just I can stay out here for a week off and do a bit of practice, where at home I wouldn't get anything done really. So home's still home, but up until about May time, if I have a week off, I'll probably just come over here.
So I'd love to, if you could, to chat a little bit about the last 12 months or so, a little over 12 months, your rookie season kind of starting off there. And you kind of hit the pro ranks in very impressive fashion, earned your DP World Tour card, and then you kind of took to this level of golf like a duck to water. Did your rookie season feel like that, or was it a case of you just progressing comfortably and you got to it and you just knew what to do?
Yeah, I think sort of a little bit. I sort of knew sort of what to do. I started off quite nicely, sort of the year, and then sort of had a little bit of a sort of tricky stretch sort of near the middle around sort of April, May time. I wasn't playing great. And then after that, I sort of had the win and was very consistent towards the end of the year and everything. So I think I just sort of got into it pretty good. I'd played a good few events as a pro before I'd got my card, and
yeah,
as an amateur, so I'd sort of knew what to expect. And I mean, after all, it's just hitting a golf ball, really. It shouldn't make a difference with who you're playing with or what course you're playing. I mean, you're just out there trying to shoot the best score that you can shoot and go out there. So I think that's sort of what maybe helped me a little bit. I wasn't really too worried about anyone or afraid of playing with people that I didn't know or I'd seen on TV. It didn't really seem to bother me at all, really.
Because you've been a talent that, I guess, Irish media in particular had been keeping an eye on since your amateur ranks, your amateur success. So when you did turn pro and when you did hit the DP World Tour, are you aware, firstly, of the media attention that people probably place on you, and then the expectations with that?
I mean, Yeah, I'm aware of it. I don't really look at it or really listen to it, to be totally honest. I don't really care what some people have to say, really. So I've sort of just went and stuck by my own thing, and which is playing good golf, and sort of that takes care of itself. But I'm obviously aware of what sort of the media presence, and it's been on me since I've been quite young, so I guess I've gotten quite used to it. But I try not to really look at too much of it.
What do you do then to kind of stay in your own zone and ignore guy shites like me on the internet talking about you?
I don't follow many people really that are to do with the internet, with media or that sort of things. I try not to read anything. I sort of stay off it during the tournament weeks. Wouldn't go on many of the social medias. I guess I'm probably so addicted to TikTok, watching TikToks, that I sort of stay off Twitter a lot. And I don't really get into reading too much about myself.
What's your For You page on TikTok like? Because that place can be wild.
It's just a load of rubbish, really. But for some reason, it's just an addiction, really. You lie in bed all night and sit and scroll through 1-2 hours of it.
We're not going to see you doing any of those TikTok dances then now on your TikTok account any day soon, no?
Absolutely not. I've never posted a video and never will, hopefully.
So you mentioned there, obviously, you got off to a hot start on tour, and I promise now we'll properly talk about the golf. That's enough TikTok chat. You partnered up with Dave McNeely then throughout that year. How did that partnership first come about? He's obviously a man with plenty of experience.
Yeah, so I had finished with my old caddy, and Dave was going to just do the week for me, as I didn't like have anyone lined up yet, or I just need someone to caddy for me for the week, and he was free. And we played that week, and obviously gelled quite well. Seemed like it worked quite nicely, and he said he'd like to work for me, and I would have liked him on the team, and for him to work for me too. And obviously I think we sort of hit the ground running quite quickly and was quite good together, very quick. Obviously has had a lot of experience, he's been doing it forever, which helps. So yeah, that's sort of how it came about. It was nothing really too complicated or anything. It was just as simple as he caddied for me for a week, and we both liked it, and here we are.
What do you look for in a caddy? Because obviously it was your rookie year. There's a lot of new things, a lot of things that aren't new. Like you said, you're putting the ball in the hole, it's the same game. But for a caddy perspective, what were you looking for, and what did Dave kind of have that ticked your box?
I guess sort of just obviously the experience he had. All the tournaments he had won and people he had caddied for was obviously quite a big thing. But I think sort of just he's been around pretty much all the courses, knew all the courses. Sort of just when things got a bit maybe tense or in a tournament coming down the stretch, he was very calm. You would have just thought we were out playing a normal round of golf. So yeah, I guess just sort of someone that can learn my game pretty quickly. He sort of got a very quick sort of understanding of how I played, and sort of that's what I liked. He sort of let me, I wouldn't say let me loose, but I'd be quite a good driver of the ball. So it was almost as getting the driver in my hands as most as possible, or as much as possible. And then we'll just try and sort of work it out from there. So I think he sort of adapted to my game very quickly, and sort of that sort of gave me probably a good bit of confidence going forward.
How would you describe your game? Would you say you're kind of an aggressive, kind of front foot type of player, or you don't strike me as conservative?
I wouldn't say I'm conservative, no. I would say I probably am aggressive, but quite smart at the same time. Although I think when you get, as I'm probably very lucky that since I've won, I've probably been much more comfortable going for things. as if it doesn't come off, it's no big deal really. It obviously is a big deal, but it sort of frees you up that you can sort of have that chance to maybe take on a shot that you might have fought before. I'll just get it down there and get it in, whereas not sort of any sort of chance I get to go for something or be aggressive at it within reason without being stupid, I would sort of definitely go for it now and try and take that chance, where maybe before I would have been a bit more, not conservative, but just sort of maybe worried about a bad shot or whatever. So now I try and take a good go at it, and most of the time if it comes off, I mean, you're laughing, and sometimes it doesn't, but that's just golf. You have to try, and you can't be standing over a shot thinking you're going to hit a bad one, so you sort of have to go for it.
Seamus Parris said something similar. He was before, just after he got his first win on the PGA Tour, he kind of likened it to, there's the freedom you have when you get your win, because he used an example of, if you're playing like a playoff against DJ or someone like that, he's got so many wins in his bag, he's got his tour card secured for the next few years. Whereas if you don't have your tour card secured and you're in that playoff, and you got to make that big shot for someone, yeah, like, if you don't have that win, second place in that position still does really well for you, get loads of points, loads of money, you do really, really well. But DJ, more often than likely than not, and similar players who have their wins, and yourself now, it sounds like, with the win in the bag, you'll go for that because you're, you know, you've got a bit more security.
Yeah, 100%. I think, yeah, exactly. Sort of, if you in that sort of situation, you know, it's been a good week anyway, you may as well just go for it and try and finish it off instead of, I mean, the worst you can finish is second, so you'd hate to finish second by just farting around trying to just make sure someone else makes a mistake instead of you going for it and taking on the shot to try and win. Because I mean second's still pretty good. I know you need to get a win for to keep your card for years or whatever, have a bit of, but I mean, if you're gonna just play it safe, there would probably be not a worse feeling than playing it safe and coming second anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like you don't play for second either. 1 year on tour, one win, like, that's you couldn't really ask for a better return on that. Going into the Porsche European Open, how was your game? You kind of mentioned you went through a little kind of, we'll call it a rocky patch for lack of better words, 3 missed cuts, tied 21st going into the week. Where were you at?
Yeah, so as I said, I sort of wasn't playing great for those 3 weeks. I missed the cut, struggling a little bit. And then I took a week off after Italy, or maybe 2 weeks off after Italy, and try and just be like, right, not really swinging it how I feel like I should be. I'll take a couple of weeks off and try and just work on it instead of working on it on the road, and then it not really getting time to bed it in. So I took some time off and really practiced and tried to sort of technically get my swing to what felt a little bit better. It was a little bit out of sync. Just with, I think some of the tournaments were quite far away, with some of the travel and a bit of tiredness, and got into a few bad habits. So sort of just trying to get out of those. And as I said, took that week off, practiced really hard, and then went and played in Holland. Played quite nicely there. Everything sort of felt a little bit better. Sort of played nicely and just didn't really putt great. And then going the week after in Germany, everything sort of just clicked. The course was very hard, which I quite like. I seem to do quite well on the courses that are tough scoring, so I sort of knew from the practice rounds it was a course that I quite liked, and it suited me. And went out and just played lovely. I think the first 2 days, I think I played quite nice and was surprised at how high the scoring was. Cause I think 6 under, we were all tied at 6 under after 3 days. And yeah, I think I just went out on the Sunday. Game felt good. It was probably, I had a good feeling of my game. I knew where the ball was going to go. So I sort of felt like I knew where my misses were, so I wasn't worried about a certain side of the course or a certain shot. I was just very comfortable, and obviously got the job done, which was nice. But coming into it, I felt good. But if you had asked me maybe like 3-4 weeks before, I probably would have said no hope.
Yeah, because I saw the, well, the final score, your winning score on the day was 9-under for that. So yeah, very like not as low scoring as some weeks. I think we had about 21, 22 under in the last couple of weeks on the DP World Tour. So it's a much tougher test. A lot's been made about your approach shot into 18, and don't worry, we're gonna talk about that. But your approach to the par 5 15th, for me, that was living life close to the edge. That was a brave shot that just about came off.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was lucky. Although, as I've said to a lot of people on the TV, it looks much closer to the water than it actually was. It was still close, but it was, when you get up there, it was not as close as the TV made it look. But it was an awkward hole. It was the whole week I'd sort of been always in between like a 4-iron, and I think I was carrying like a 7-wood at the time, 7-wood and a 3-wood, and 3-wood was just always too much club. And 7 was always like, I had to hit it well, and I'm not going to lay up with a wedge just to hit another wedge onto the green in the middle of the fairway. So I hit the shot, and I hit it well. I just put too much fade on it, which sort of stalled it a little bit. And I was definitely sort of a bit worried in the air, but it was one of those holes all week that I'd always hit a good tee shot and been right in between 3-wood and 5-wood, and I was never gonna just chip it down the fairway to hit it on the green. So it was a chance I took, and thankfully it paid off.
That was the non-conservative play. I like that. Do you watch your highlights at all? Like, did you watch the highlights from that tournament at all to try and just glean something going into other tournaments where you're feeling the same or feeling good?
I wouldn't say I haven't watched them much, maybe once or twice. Obviously watched them after, probably straight after the days after, just to see. And then I probably watched it once or twice after that, just to sort of remember the moment or whatever, and sort of remember what it was like. But I probably would be a person that would watch stuff after. I like to see sort of how things look, maybe not technical wise, but just sort of shots, and because it's so different than hitting balls in the range. You think you're swinging it one way, but you could be aiming way offline on the golf course, but you obviously would never have any sort of idea of that because you're hitting. So sometimes just the watch and see things like that, or if you hit a certain shot and it's hard to see where the ball's landed, and you've wanted to sort of see for the next couple of days or for previous experiences, it's good to watch some highlights.
That's fair. So let's talk about that shot on 18. So the approach into the green, you mentioned there on the 15th hole, the green, or it wasn't quite as difficult a shot as it was in real life. Was that the same thing for the 18th hole? It looked like you were kind of blocked out by the tree.
I was just in the rough, maybe about a yard or two off, and it was, I think I had about 200 yards to the pin, but I had a pretty straight line about 5 yards right of the green. So if I hit a dead, if I just sort of just went a yard or so right of the tree, a dead shot, dead straight, I would finish 4 or 5 yards right of the green, and that's what I was planning on doing. Thankfully, it sort of it turned over a bit and it went pretty close. But I sort of, my thought process for that was, if I hit it dead straight, it's just a chip across the green. If I was ever to miss hit a shot, I'd normally hit it out of the hail, which means it would go more to the right. So that means the water's not in play. And if I hit it well and overdrew it or it hooked, I mean, that should go further, so the water shouldn't, at the front, shouldn't be in play, really. If I struck it somewhat decently, and I've hit it and hit it absolutely perfect, and as soon as it started turning in, I knew it was probably going to be good. There was no it just looked perfect. Sometimes I would get that if there's like an obstacle in the way and I aim right or left. It just must be subconsciously, you just put shape on it naturally. I was trying just to hit it just right of the green and chip down and have a couple of pots, but thankfully it came off and there it was.
When you're playing around a golf like that and you're in contention, you're coming down to win, how do you feel internally? Are you pumped? Are you excited? Are you a kind of an up and down player like that, or do you try and keep it pretty level?
No, I'd be quite level. I would never sort of ever get excited or down. I'd sort of be the same whether I'm there or in the middle of the pack. I think I remember that day I was very calm. Again, I'm not too sure why. Because I was surprisingly calm for some reason. Because I've definitely been a lot more nervous trying to make the cut or in other spots. So I'm just sort of very level and trying not to get too emotional. Because I mean, I think it would be very easy to get hole a putt, go crazy, get pumped up, and then you just don't know where you are for the next tee shot, and then you could hit a bad shot. So I think trying to just really keep level and never get down, but just sort of try and keep that sort of same sort of level of sort of excitement is probably quite good.
That's fair. So then when you do win it, you knock the putt in to win. How do you feel then at that point? Because that is that relief? Is that excitement? Or I imagine you're not still very level at that point.
Probably a little bit of relief and excitement. I mean, it's probably a very weird feeling for the first time. It was obviously the first time I'd won a professional event, but it was maybe like 3 or 4 years since I'd won a previous event. So it was definitely a weird feeling to get back. And probably relief that it was more than that it was over, because the golf course is so stressful and that you're sort of on edge every shot. Up until then, that just when the last putt goes in, it's sort of like, right, it's over. And then the excitement kicks in, and it's really exciting. But obviously after, you have to do so much stuff. So you're sort of going around everywhere doing things that it sort of doesn't really hit you till you get back to the hotel at night or you sit down. It's a strange feeling.
So once all that kind of stuff settled down, what do you actually do to celebrate?
Literally we just had dinner at the hotel that night. My dad was there and Dave was there. We just had dinner and sat there and chatted about it. But when we got home the week or so after, we just went out for a couple of nice dinners and sort of chilled out and sort of celebrated that way. I wouldn't be a big partier.
You didn't do the classic buy yourself a car or something like that, no?
Well, not straight away, no. I did get myself a car at the end of the year, but for the win, but not straight away.
Myself and my co-host Michael, I don't know if you know this, we've given you a nickname and we've kind of created a persona around you, and we've called you the kid. And it's not because you're young or anything like that, but you remind us so much of do you remember the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? Robert Redford's character, he's Butch Cassidy's partner, but he's so cool, very confident, very laid back, but plays with shoots with such confidence. He's a big cowboy. But like yourself, he's got quick hands, kind of like a gunslinger. And so for us, we're like, okay, like Tom is just, we watch you on the golf course, we watch you on TV, and that's it. Yeah, that's the kind of the confidence and level of cool and calm that you give across. That we're like, this kid is, he's very cool.
I like it.
So that's what you're going to be called now, the kid from now on, yeah.
No, that's cool. I like it.
Do you have any other kind of nicknames or anything like that, or do the guys on tour? Because there's a good group of guys kind of your age on tour now.
No nicknames really. Ian Ferguson calls me McKibbs, but that's it. No nicknames that I know of anyway. There could be a few bad ones out there, but I don't know them.
Fair enough. I won't ask you what are some of the bad ones then. That would be unfair. So I want to ask. Obviously, you've got a relationship with Rory, both of you from Hollywood Golf Club and the likes of that. but as one of the kind of younger guys on tour, have many of the other guys, the other older Irish guys, got in touch with you? Obviously, on the bigger Rolex Series events, you've got the likes of kind of Rory and a few other guys getting in touch, but would they be in touch with you often, any of them?
Yeah, not loads. Parig's been, he would text me a good bit after a good week or a good round. Spent a good bit of time with him last year, played with him a couple of times, played with him at the Irish Open the first 2 days. Played a few practice rounds. He's been great. And then obviously spent a lot of time with Rory the last couple of years, and obviously last year he played in a few events he had played in as well. So that was pretty cool to sort of spend time with him, play a few practice rounds with him. And yeah, but they've all been great with me. I've been fortunate to spend a lot of time with a lot of them, and yeah, it's been cool to sort of be with people that you've watched on TV growing up, and sort of be around them and be able to just sort of have a chat and play golf with them. It's pretty cool.
I'm sure you probably can't share, but is there any one piece of advice that any of them, like Porrick or the likes, have given that has stuck with you?
Not really. I mean, I think it's probably stuff that has went in that just sort of comes back here and there. I wouldn't say I've ever really gotten much like a big light bulb moment or things like that. I wouldn't be a person that would ask for advice on things really, or ask much. I sort of sit there and listen a little bit more, I would say. So not really, but I mean, it's always just keep doing what you're doing. There's no need to go out there and change a lot of things just because you see other people doing something, or you've got the sort of, you've got to that level doing this and this. There's no need to sort of go and reinvent things really.
That's fair. That's very fair. You're well into the 2023-2024 season. I'm not sure. Are you someone that sets goals for your golf? And if so, can you share what some of those goals might be? I mean, obviously, naturally, win, again, I imagine, is up there. But what else might be there?
Yeah, win would be great. I'd say that would probably be my only, like golf proper, like, tournament goal. I would be probably more in the goals on, like, stats, like it. For example, maybe like get your putting from, let's say, just flat level to gaining half a shot or gaining 0.3 of a shot. Because over time, if you can achieve that, that should improve the scores, which will improve the result. I wouldn't be a big person to say I want to have 5 top tens and a win and this and that. I think that just puts too much pressure on yourself to go to the tournament and do that, instead of just letting it happen all naturally. So I'd be probably into more goals like after a sort of a stretch, get some stats, see what the numbers are saying, and then try and make the next sort of swing better, or whatever I've needed to improve on, try and make it better. Because I think doing the right stuff and sort of doing it that way will help the tournaments and then help the results, which should hopefully lead to some good golf.
That's fair. So rather than, I guess, setting a tournament win as a goal, the win is a bit more a result of you hitting your goals, which are the stats driven.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, obviously a win, and now that they have those PGA Tour cards up for grabs, that would be one of them, try and get one of those at the end of the year. And again, as I said, if you can do everything else right and some good golf, good golf sort of takes care of everything.
How into the weeds do you get when it comes to stats and the analytics?
Yeah, pretty deep down. Yeah, I've quite probably as detailed as you can go.
Would you be, so obviously, I don't know if you watched the Netflix series, Matt Fitzpatrick had about greens books from the last 15 years of tournaments. Would you be kind of that level of information?
Not that, because I haven't played that many years to have that many yardage books. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I've, for the last, since I've been a pro, I've wrote down every shot I've hit in the yardage book, and what club I've hit, the wind direction, how far away it's finished. So yeah, pretty deep into it.
I know we don't have a huge amount of time, so I just want to ask you quickly then. You've in the last few weeks you signed with Callaway Golf. This podcast is all, we're also partner with Callaway. How did that relationship come about for you?
I started sort of trying some clubs at the end of last year. Was fortunate enough that I was able to sort of play some tournaments at the end of the year. With sort of whatever I wanted. So I tried most things, most of the brands, and played sort of the last four or five events last year with pretty much all Callaway stuff, minus a few clubs here or there, but I played with the irons and the driver. An opportunity came about the join for this year, and I really liked the equipment. I drove the ball awesome with last year's one every tournament I played, so sort of once I sort of found a good driver, it was pretty much that was sort of the selling point. I really liked the driver and really liked this year's one when I tried it at the end of last year. I went for it, and I'm very happy.
What do you kind of look for from your equipment? It sounds like your driver is kind of the foundation for it. Would I be right in saying that?
I think sort of once I can get a good driver, which is, I would say is a strength of mine, and sort of very comfortable with the driver, it sort of frees other things up. Quite detailed with everything. I'm quite specific to what I like. The irons I've got at the minute are very, very nice. And the wedges I really like as well. Everything's in a good place. I would do a lot of testing to make sure it's all performing well, and this year I've been really happy. I haven't really tinkered too much. I've been using the same clubs for a good couple of months now, and I'm enjoying it.
Can you shout through the bag? What's specifically, what have you got, what going on?
I've got a AI Smoke Triple Diamond Max driver, a Max Freewood. I've got a Freewood High Launch, weakened a bit, that is actually a 5-wood. That plays as a 5-wood for me.
Okay.
So if you looked at my bag, you'd see 2 Freewoods, but one of them's actually a 5-wood. And then I've got a set of X Forged irons and Jaws wedges with a Odyssey putter, and I'm using the new Chrome Tour ball.
Oh, very good. How'd you find the ball? You like it?
Yeah, really good. I'm really liking it. I quite liked last year's ball, but when I tried this year's one, the flight off the driver and the irons was just incredible.
Okay, very good. It sounds like everything's in a very good way then for you.
Yeah, I'm very happy. It's probably the most comfortable I've been with this sort of the setup in a while, so it's nice.
Nice. So what have you got coming up over the next few weeks? You got Qatar, then you got a little bit of a break. What do the next few weeks or months look like for you?
So I'll play Qatar next week, 2 weeks off, play the 2 events in South Africa, and then Singapore. And that's sort of, and then I'll probably go to Japan and play there as well. But that's sort of what the next sort of month and a half looks like. Sort of trying to play sort of 2 or 3 weeks on, a couple of weeks off this year.
Very nice. Well, listen, best of luck this season, mate. We'll be following you. We'll be rooting for you from back here. Good luck.
Thank you very much. That was great. Thank you for having me on.
On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute the millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.